Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, and I'm joined, as always, by my trusty co-host, Cody Thompson.
Trusty.
I love that. I'm not sure what trusty means. But you know, Cody, I want to say something. For the first 10 or 12 podcasts, I always said, I'm really excited by today's topic. And then I stopped doing that because I didn't want to sound disingenuous like a talk show host. Like, today we have a great show.
Right.
It's like, some shows probably aren't that great. But what I realized is that we really vet these topics. We really talk about what should we do. And we don't want to ever do a show that's not about something interesting. And so by the time we settle on a topic, by definition, we're pretty excited. And I'm really excited by today's topic.
Yeah, I feel the same way. When we throw them all up on the board and we're like, which one today? And we're not like other podcasts. We don't have months of recordings. We kind of do this live. And it's so great to have a topic that we're both really excited about.
And we usually decide the day of or the day before, like, this is something we're wrestling with right now, or we're seeing in our clients or in the world. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So what's today's topic?
Today's topic is stop agreeing to disagree.
Right. I shared this topic with somebody yesterday and they looked at me like, what do you mean? That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Let's just agree to disagree.
No, we almost named this convince or be convinced. And right. And we're going to talk about that. Why in companies, why on teams, the idea of saying let's agree to disagree is so harmful.
It is. And that's true in society. It's true in marriage. It's true in family. But we see it all the time in businesses. People say, well, let's just leave it at that and agree to disagree. And nobody's left better because of that.
Right. So this topic is exciting in and of itself, but I also have a really exciting segment I want to tell the listeners about. You know how we've been adding segments at the end of the podcast,
right?
Consulting Corner. We're doing a thing called Corporate Mumbo Jumbo, where we deconstruct corporate speak.
Mumbo Jumbo.
And today we have a really fun one because we're going to have you read some of the worst reviews of your books.
Right. And most people would go, why would you want to do that? I do this with my kids and they're like, give me another one. It's right. Really fun. I think most of the reviews are good, but I think it's really fun to look at the bad ones.
I'm
so we picked out some really creative ones. By the way, we also have Tracy Noble, our boss and producer here today. We should always just, she's in the room. She may chime in at any point. She has permission to do that. Tell us to shut up maybe. So let's talk about this idea of stop agreeing to disagree. And let's talk about this first from a corporate standpoint.
Yeah.
When executives on a team, on a leadership team, say, you know, I don't agree with your sales strategy, but that's okay. We're friends. Let's just go with what you want to do. I don't really like it. Let's just agree to disagree.
Or even what tends to happen probably even as often is you get into what is a good good conflict laden conversation around it, but it gets a little too prickly for people. And then they say, well, let's just table that. Or you know what? We're never going to end up on the same page here. So let's just agree to disagree.
And that sounds like a very mature way of avoiding uncomfortable and potentially harmful conflict or lack of unity.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, it's quite the opposite.
Absolutely. In fact, it's a great way to ensure that you're making mediocre decisions in your company.
Right. And here's the thing. And leaving people below you in the organization to fight bloody, unwinnable battles with one another. In other words, well, our bosses didn't agree. So now we're left with this fundamental disconnect.
Right.
What are we going to do? I guess we're going to fight it out.
Yeah. We couch everything in our models here, not because there are models, but because we think it's true. And the truth is if you have trust, then conflict becomes nothing but the pursuit of the best idea. And if conflict is the pursuit of the best idea, then, and you say everyone needs to weigh in order to buy in, and ultimately it's for commitment. And so even at this stage, what we're saying is engage in the amount of conflict that's necessary so people can drive for commitment. And
right.
You've said people can commit to a decision that they initially disagreed with if they're heard. So really what we're talking about is have the conversation go further than you expect that you think you might need to in terms of conflict. Know that there's a right answer and that it's not okay to come short of, you know, getting people into convince or be convinced.
Right. And there's two requirements for this. And you told me about a guy who came up to you at church and said this
right.
to you. So I love when it's a story about somebody else. Tell us about this.
So the idea was like, okay, so are we really saying, what we're thinking about our listeners, are we really saying that you should go out tomorrow and find the person that you disagree with and go say, convince or be convinced. Let's not agree to disagree anymore.
Or go to a football game and say, I think this quarterback's terrible. And him say, I think he's great.
Right.
Let's argue.
But there are qualifications here.
Right.
And that's why it starts with trust. That's why it's rooted in our model. If you don't have trust, then you shouldn't do this.
Which means you have a relationship with the people you're dealing with and you care about them. Certainly a leadership team should have that.
Yep. And so this guy, Justin McRoberts, who I heard recently talk about, he basically curates conversations online to help people engage in really difficult conversations. And he has such a heart for this. And he laid out some criteria that I thought was really interesting. He said, listen, if you're going to dive into a really critical conversation with someone, one that's going to be conflict laden, where people tend to disagree, there's two criteria. One is, look across the table and say, do I love this person? Like, do I care a lot about this person? And secondly, do I care a lot about the topic, the outcome of the conversation?
Right.
And if you say no to either of those,
don't do it.
Don't do it. And I think that criteria is super important, because there's probably a lot of people out there who really don't care about the person across the table, really don't care about the decision. They just want to be heard. They just want to argue. Those two criteria is a really good filter for this.
Yeah. And let's talk about that. So let's say we're deciding where to go to lunch, and I have this, my favorite Mexican restaurant, you have yours. It's okay to agree to disagree on that.
Right.
It's not that important.
Or to actually not care about the topic. You know, the joke of like, I want to open a restaurant that's called I Don't Care. So now we can go to where the place my wife's always talking about. You know? It's like, no, if you don't care where you eat, then that's fine to go, hey, I don't really care that much.
Right. Now, or if you're on a team and you really don't care about the person, fix that first.
Right.
Because until you actually, can you use the word love? And I know people are like, love, that's not a corporate thing. I always say, well, even if you don't like the people you work with, you should love them enough to care about making the best decision to benefit the whole organization.
Right.
So what we're not saying, have conversations with people you don't know, or about things that don't matter.
Right.
But if both of those criteria are there, I care about them and it matters, you got to do it. Laura and I, the other night, my wife, because this goes at home too, we were talking about one of our sons. And she was like, I think you're being too hard on him. And I said, I don't think you're being hard enough. Should we go, let's just agree to disagree? No.
Right.
We said, but here's what I'm thinking and here's what you're thinking. And as a result, we went with one of our ideas. In this case, it was mine. Usually it's not. And it worked out really well. And at the end, she was like, I'm really glad we did what you said. Had we agreed to disagree, what are we supposed to do? Walk around the house and go, hey, mom's really easy on you guys. I think we should be harder. But anyway,
right. We
just let it play out. That's ridiculous. Why would we do that at work?
Right. And it happens way too often in our businesses.
Oh, yeah.
And too often people, you know, we almost did, and we probably will in the future, there's corporate sayings that actually fortify this agree to disagree. I mean, that's one in and of itself. Hey, right. Let's agree to disagree.
Let's table it.
Let's take this offline. We've had enough, you know, all of those things perpetuate this idea.
You call that? Corporate mumbo jumbo.
That's right. But it matters so much in our business, you know, in that context, the right answer is worth fighting about.
Right.
And we do this. And sometimes we're not great at it. And in fact, the times that we've regretted decisions that we've made, when we feel like we've backed ourselves into a corner,
when we didn't do it,
is because we didn't have enough confidence.
Now, you know what the insight I had yesterday, that I think this is an insight, I feel strongly about this. Most people will say, I don't like to do it because I don't like conflict. And there are certainly some people like that.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain people that don't like conflict, but I realized actually there's something deeper going on here. The reason why people don't want to have those difficult conversations, and there's a reason why people agree to disagree, is not because they don't really like the process, but because they don't want to have to admit they might be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find is this, the people who avoid those conversations are often people that don't have strong convictions, and they're just like, listen, I don't know why we did the sales comp that way, but it was my plan. I really don't want to have to admit I did something wrong. Let's just not talk about it.
Right. Or what also happens is they go back, they find some more data or criteria that will fortify their position and say, so there is something about the environment and the person that you're having the conversation with, in the sense that if you're not open to the idea that you might be wrong,
right,
then all you're doing is bringing criteria that will fortify your opinion.
Right.
That's it. And it's funny that you mentioned your wife, because at home, you know, I think we engage in pretty healthy dialogue around here. Like the right answer is the right answer, whether it comes from you, the rest of our staff, or the janitor. We'll take the right answer from anyone. And I love that about working here. And people will opt in.
We're immensely malleable when a better answer comes about. Nobody defends
And I think it's because we have high degrees of trust. We're sitting across the table from people we love. We care about the issues, that sort of thing.
Right.
But what is hard is there are people out there who aren't willing to say that they're wrong,
right,
and are afraid to do that.
It's not common enough in society.
And at my home, you know, I'm very willing to say I'm wrong, and I'm often wrong. But what happens is my wife and I will be arguing about something that we care about each other. We care about the topic. And as soon as my wife provides the criteria or makes the argument that makes sense to me, I go, you know what? You're right. And it gives her whiplash sometimes. She's like, no, wait, we're not done fighting about this. We still have to talk this through. And I'm like, no, you made that argument. I mean, you knocked it out of the park. I'm on your side now. And she's like, you can't just switch sides like this. But if you're really there to want the truth, like if that's the ultimate goal is I'm in pursuit of the best answer, as soon as the best answer is thrown on the table, people should be jumping on it.
Exactly. But if you're changing your mind just to give in and it's important, bad thing. If you're changing your mind because they made a very compelling case, that is actually the whole point.
Right. And there's a spectrum here. There's either teams that don't have enough conflict who really stop the conversation before it gets anywhere productive.
We call it artificial harmony.
Artificial harmony. Or people who are staunchly committed to their idea and are not open to changing their minds.
And they just like to fight to defend,
right?
Not to seek truth.
And so what we are suggesting is when we say stop agreeing to disagree, it's like, I think more teams fall on the lack of conflict side.
Absolutely.
Than on the other side. And I think too many people assume that, oh, that person's mind wouldn't be changed, or, oh, we can't engage in that level of intense conversation. And if we can have the courage to throw an issue on the table, to get really invested in the outcomes of our company and our parenting, the social dynamics of our friends and family, then people's minds do change. I mean, this guy, Justin McRoberts, who does this thing online, people often say, well, nobody goes to change their mind online. He's like, no, I've seen it. I've seen it happen.
If you develop a relationship and stick with it.
And care deeply about what's going on.
You know, right now I'm going through something we're trying to figure out, and a lot of people can relate to this, what about my mom. We think it's time for her to move in assisted living. Now, she hasn't listened to this podcast, but my brother and my sister and I are trying to figure this out. Well, we've had differences of opinion.
Hmm.
And it would be a horrible thing to say, well, we just agree to disagree. Just do it your way.
Right.
No.
There's a right answer there.
There's a right answer. There's a better answer. There is some truth out there based on the circumstance, and it's always worth going there. Now, if you've had everything out and you've put all the issues out there and you've talked through it, at some point you might go, well, I guess there's two ways to look at this.
Mm-hmm.
That's different. But when we bail on these topics too early, we leave ourselves with bad answers, and there's consequences for that.
Right. You know, it's funny, Chris, who joins us on the podcast regularly. Our friend from Portland, who's here very often. We were having a discussion about something, a project that you're going to do, and we're going to have you record some videos. And I had a very strong opinion about how I thought the videos should go. And Chris presented an entirely different option. And right out of the gate, I was like, no, that's not going to happen. I've been with Pat on these video shoots. This is the way that we work best.
Right.
And he went back at it. Wow. Okay. So you feel strongly about that, but let me push back on you a little bit. In 5 minutes, I was like, you know what? I think you might be right. I think in this context with what we're trying to accomplish, this is the thing. And Chris actually went to one of our colleagues afterwards and said, yeah, you know, I thought Cody is going to, you know, he has some pretty strong convictions. I didn't know that he was going to change his mind that quickly. But the truth is, if you can go there, argue, I think in a lot of companies, what would have happened is when I said, no, listen, trust me. They would have backed off right there, and we wouldn't have gotten to the right answer. And the ultimate thing is there's way more goodness to be had. I think that's what you and I are saying is like,
yeah,
even if you're just refining the answer,
right,
there's way more goodness to be had. And if people don't engage or don't have the courage to get deep into that conversation, it's never going to happen.
Right. Convince or be convinced. And both of them are good. I love when people convince me to change my mind.
Right.
And I love when I can convince them to change theirs, not because I won, but because the truth prevailed.
Absolutely.
I was with a friend the other day, and we were having a conversation, and the whole concept of truth and goodness came up, and he got really uncomfortable. He said, well, you have your truth and I have my truth. And I said, oh, no, that's impossible. We can have differences of opinion. We should all be pursuing truth. And two things that are opposing to one another can't both be true.
Mm-hmm.
And that should not make us uncomfortable. it should make us excited to pursue that. This is a friend of mine.
Right.
You know, and he was like, let's just not talk about it. I was like, no, because maybe you have something that I don't know about that would change my opinion and get me closer to truth. Or maybe I know something that you don't know that would get you closer to truth. And I'm not threatened by either one of those things.
Well, that's, I know you hate when I quote your book, but I don't do that because you're sitting across the table. But when you say that conflict with trust is the pursuit of truth or the best idea, it's right. incredible. Conflict without trust is politics.
Right.
You know, and that in and of itself is kind of the essence of what we're talking about here. If you have trust, then everyone should argue hard for what they think is the right answer, because ultimately that's going to serve the team, your family, your friends better if you can arrive at the truth.
Right. And even in a nation going through political change, people that care about each other should talk about it.
Right.
Because they're either going to convince or be convinced, and that leaves us all better.
Right. And we should be moving and adjusting based on what is true. And we, it's sad to think that we might settle for something more mediocre, whether it's in our country or policy or what, or in our business, family, because we weren't willing to have the conversation.
Exactly. Exactly. It's very true. So what we want people to do is go talk about this. Say, do we agree at in our team that we care enough about each other and we care enough about this topic to be open-minded, to have a good debate, and that we're all willing to change our mind if we get convinced?
Right.
Or are we going into this thing determined to defend our answer and not to have to change our mind? In which case, it's a fruitless discussion.
And if you're listening to this and you're thinking, there's no way that I could have this level of conflict or this, that as a team, we could not say, stop agreeing to disagree, then you have to focus on trust. I remember when my wife worked at a different organization while we were working here, we have such lively conversation around all these topics. And like I said, you're open to anyone throwing their opinion into the ring when we're discussing things.
Right.
So my wife would tell me about stuff that was going on at her work and with her manager and with her boss. And I would say, well, why don't you just go tell him this? And she's like, oh no, we could not. We could not.
Right.
We could not say that. And the truth is, there's a lot of organizations where you couldn't. And right. It very likely is because there's a lack of trust. So
absolutely.
This is vitally important, but you have to understand that there are contextual filters that are really important to engage in this level of dialogue.
And your wife's company was a nonprofit. I know this. Right. And we're going to do a podcast later about the difference between for-profit and nonprofit and why they shouldn't be as different as they are.
Yeah.
So I think that's very interesting.
Totally.
Because so many nonprofits struggle with this, but that's another podcast.
That's right.
For a future date. Okay, let's get into our segment.
I love it. I just handed you 4 different reviews. I can't wait for this.
These are real reviews.
I'm going to sit over here and just enjoy.
Okay, one person, this was about my book, The Ideal Team Player. They said, they called it the 50 Shades of Gray of management books. Man, I missed those scenes. And they've said, if you're building a company of automatons and you need yet another Venn diagram and checklist to maximize employee output, this is your book. That's a great one.
These are fantastic.
I never read or saw the movies 50 Shades of Grey, but I'm pretty sure
there's not a Venn diagram where those things are overlapped.
Right. Either that or I got bad messages about those books and movies. Here's another one. Ideal Team Player. I think my wife wrote this one. This so-called literary work is nothing but the results of a brain fart of a self-absorbed lunatic. Wow, that is, I think they were talking about me.
Yeah, that's you.
My wife wouldn't say that, but that's hilarious. Here's another one. Lincioni takes a dull story and parlays it into a meaningless story that the reader is to connect with. Not.
A dull story all the way into a meaningless story. Yeah, that's a personal great. Favorite.
And this one I love. This one I love. This is from my book, The Truth About Employee Engagement. This reader says, I'm reading this under duress as a requirement for a class at work. I'm only 65 pages in, and if he doesn't pick up the pace, I'm going to poke my eyes out with a stick.
These are great. Thanks for doing that for me, Pat.
Yeah, I want to call that guy back and say, did it pick up or are you eyeless now?
It's and the fun truth to look is, at these. You, all your books have 4.5, 5 stars. They're immensely helpful for people, but it is funny to poke some fun at you now and again. You
know? Absolutely. I have fun with it too.
So okay, before listeners poke their ears out with a stick, let's wrap this thing up.
Let's bring this to an end. So thanks for listening. We'll look forward to our next one. God bless.